Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to be in the cards. We're going to be living with the cards again. Alexander Dunlop is back. He's an amazing card reader. We're talking about the 52-card deck. There's magic in it. Magic to know ourselves better and to understand life, understand each other. And the more we can know about it, I think the more successful we can be in life. So that's why I'm so glad that Alexander is here to talk about the cards in a way that will help us create more expansion in our lives, more abundance. What's in our cards? Alexander, what's in our cards?
Well, there's a lot in our cards, Peter. And first of all, thank you so much for having me back on your show. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I've really enjoyed speaking with you before. There's so much we can find out in our cards. And it is interesting to me, we have these expressions like find out what's in the cards or play our cards right. Because these cards, the ordinary deck of cards, do hold a lot of the secrets for us in life. So much so that it's become built into our vocabulary like that. Even though people didn't know what they meant necessarily, they're saying these words. And as you may know, with language we create our reality.
I'm thinking of the expression, you've got that in spades.
You've got that in spades. It's true. We call a spade a spade. We do it to the nines. You want to ace the test.
Right.
Don't get lost in the shuffle. He's not playing with a full deck. All of these. Yes.
Yeah. People, when they say that, they don't realize that they're really talking about truths about the cards that you can understand when you know how cards work.
Right, and truths about life, too. There's 52 cards like there's 52 weeks in the year, and four suits like four seasons, 13 cards in each suit, there's 13 weeks in each season. When you add up all the numbers from 1 to 13, you get 364 of all the four suits, and the Joker is worth 1 1/4. So you put him back, you get 365 and a quarter. So these cards, quote-unquote, it's an abstract representation of our calendar year. It's a mathematical model of the life cycles we have on Earth. Nobody knows where it's from. It's older than the Bible, and it's been hidden in plain sight. So we're talking about the keys to our life, finding the life cycles that we are personally here to live based just on the mathematics of our date of birth. And if you want to find your card, you can go to my website to look up your birth card and get started understanding your life path.
I think that would actually be good for our audience in listening to this show, that they click onto your website, find out what their card is. Even they can find the cards of their family members.
Right.
So they'll have some idea of what we're talking about.
Right.
We did a show last year where we went through every card and examined it. So if people want to go back to that show, and then we did an earlier show where we talked about a lot of the nuances of the deck. There is information in my old shows on the archives that people can go back to, and that will help them as well.
Absolutely. As Peter's saying, in the archives of Peter's show, you can find an explanation of your birth card, so you can follow along with the show that we're doing today. And you can also look on my website, spiritualnutrition.org, and plug in your date of birth and find out your birth card there as well. So that will help you follow along with what we're talking about today.
Right. We are going to talk about abundance, and that's something that we've heard a lot about over the years, that there are ways to achieve abundance. There was a movie that was out years ago called The Secret, and a book called The Secret. And that was a rave at the time. Everybody was wild about it because this was the answer on how to achieve abundance in your life, the law of attraction. It was a strange time, and I was teaching about it, but I felt that the movie had it wrong and the book had it wrong. You and I were talking about that earlier, that it was done in a generality. So can you explain that?
Well, yes, and Peter, what you're saying is absolutely true. The law of attraction works. It's like the law of gravity, and maybe the best thing that that movie did was introduce us to the reality of the law of attraction, but it was grossly oversimplified. In my private practice, I see it actually hurting people in some cases more than helping them, because it sets them up with false expectations about what they can attract for themselves and how they're going to do that. And what I see in looking into their cards We each have 13 cards in our life path, including cards that indicate our abundance. So I see people working against their own life path or trying to attract things that are not in the cards for them to attract and then judging themselves negatively for not being able to do it.
Yeah. And so we have our egos, we have a desire, and we want what we don't have. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize that perhaps we're not going to have certain things in our lives that are for someone else, mm-hmm. but we're supposed to have what we're supposed to have.
Well, exactly. And there's a lot of imprinting from the media, from advertising, from friends and family, from the capitalist structure that we're embedded in. There's a lot of imprinting, programming about what we're supposed to get and what we're supposed to have. What I see time and time again is underneath that programming, getting down to what is indicated for people in their cards to have for their abundance, is actually the thing that really makes them happy when you get down to it.
Because it's natural for yeah. them.
It's what their soul craves.
Right, but we don't always know it because we're conditioned by
exactly.
our parents and our teachers.
And the media.
The
yeah.
media in particular
yeah.
is constantly conditioning us to want things that aren't necessarily something that we'd be happy getting, but we think we would.
Exactly. Exactly. I was looking at an advertisement on the bus stop on the way over, Love Every Sip, Diet Pepsi, with an advertisement that you're going to love every sip. And love every sip of a chemical cocktail that's going to cause cancer in your body, but their advertisement is you're going to love every sip.
And so we're drawn to things that we don't realize are working against us. And we're going to get into the cards more to understand
yeah.
more of the nitty-gritty of what we're talking about. And we've started looking at our own cards
mm-hmm.
and our family's cards. Where would you like to start?
We could start with my own card as an example, if you want to do that.
Sure.
So my birth card, based on my date of birth, is the Nine of Hearts. And what I see is the abundance for us is always playing the energy of our birth card plus the Jupiter card that we have. And in my case, the Jupiter card is the Jack of Clubs. So the meaning of the Nine of Hearts is to give love unconditionally. And I've noticed that when I'm willing to open myself up, I've started an online community, for example, and I'm working with clients, obviously. And when I'm willing to give love to complete strangers, just because that's in my design to do, that's what brings me abundance. And when I combine that with my Jupiter influence, which is the Jack of Clubs, my interest in learning and my interest in writing and teaching and exploring knowledge, because that's what the Jack of Clubs is about, that's what brings me abundance. And there's a secondary Jupiter influence, which we all have as well, and for me that's the Five of Clubs, and that's about exploring new knowledge. So when I'm writing, learning, teaching new knowledge, that's the path of my abundance. And lo and behold, that's what I'm doing by, uh-huh. you know, doing this card system. And I'm teaching it and explaining it, and it's new knowledge that most people haven't heard of. So it's reinforced me and it's supported me in my decision, because I started working with these cards before I fully understood what my own keys to abundance are, because there isn't really anyone else out there teaching this method of finding your keys to abundance in the cards. Even though there are a few people who know this card science, there are not people now expounding it in the deeper levels that I am.
But yeah. you didn't invent...
I didn't invent it. It's an ancient system. It's older than the Bible.
I'm talking about which ones are your abundance cards, your expansion cards, mm-hmm. even though there aren't people out there doing it, it
right.
was a science that already existed.
Exactly.
You aren't creating any combinations.
No, exactly. I'm not creating anything new, but what I feel like I'm doing is tapping into some ancient knowledge, and I'm highly intuitive, and I find that knowledge comes to me. It's as if I'm, and I enjoy it, it's as if I'm on a treasure hunt, unveiling the secrets and the mysteries that are revealed in this ancient system.
It takes a very smart guy to do this. That's how I think of you. Because it's really a wisdom thing also, because it's not just one card. You're putting a bunch of cards together and seeing the yeah. magic of the package.
Right. Looking at the symbolism and seeing how it connects. Because each card has a symbolism as well. They're archetypes. They're like archetypes of our collective unconscious.
And important archetypes that... Once we find out what our cards are, we understand the archetype that we're living out in our lives.
Right.
And it's fascinating to see yourself as an archetype.
And we're all here to play our cards right. And so we're all here to play our...
Let's hope so.
We're all here to play our archetypes the way we want to, as opposed to feeling victimized by the archetype that we're here to play.
Right. So people can actually correct their paths in life once they understand. But very often they're living it. They're just not living it as fully as they can because it hasn't been explained to them.
They're not aware of it. They're not self-aware. So they're stuck in a rut or stuck in a pattern that they can't see why it is that pattern. And they're also many times not enjoying it. They're trying to be something other than who they really are.
Well, I want to use myself as an example because my birth card is the Four of Clubs. Mm-hmm. And the clubs have to do with the mind and being smart.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, I was conditioned that I wasn't smart.
Wow.
I had teachers, I had so many times they would just say, oh, you're just not cut out for school, or you shouldn't be going to college, that kind of stuff. And it was crazy because I ended up doing very well academically, but I had to fight through it. There's an underlying idea in me that I always have to prove how smart I am, which is why perhaps I have a radio show and I challenge my mind and I challenge the mind of my guests. Because it's very important for me to live in the proof of that.
And the number four is the symbol of foundation. So you have a foundational strength to your mind. Your mind can be like the library system that holds everything.
Well, I'm always trying to make sense of it.
Right, you're trying to put everything in order.
Yes.
So your gift, the light that you shine in the world, is your ability to digest vast quantities of knowledge and distill it into digestible chunks for people to get. That's what you do. That's the Four of Clubs energy.
Good. Yeah, and so I've been living that. And against the grain, you know, in terms of my early conditioning. And so it's exciting for me, and I get such pleasure out of being a Four of Clubs.
Beautiful. And then your keys to abundance and your Jupiter cards, your Six of Diamonds, which is about being driven and focused. In your running, I would see the Six of Diamonds showing up a lot in your desire to run.
And to be a good runner.
You're right. Diamonds is the gut, is the core. A lot of people with that energy are very competitive and have a strong desire to compete.
And I did. I wasn't just a jogger. I actually won some awards, and I was very proud of myself.
Right. And then underneath that, a secondary Jupiter influence is the Eight of Hearts. That's the healer, so that you would get abundance by doing healing work, and you have done that. You've been a healer for many years and earned a good living as a healer.
I love that, and it comes naturally to me.
Yeah.
Whereas I have a friend who's an Ace of Diamonds, and she is a great healer and a great intuitive. And yet, let's look at her abundance card. Is it it's not the same as mine?
No, it's not. Her abundance card is the Three of Spades. But let's say something about the Ace of Diamonds first. The Ace of Diamonds people, if you're born as an Ace of Diamonds, you're here to start something new. So the first thing I would tell her is start something new. Start your own practice. Be an entrepreneur. And do something different that has never been quite done before. Do it your own way. Be unique. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is the Three of Spades is the card of being a channel. So being a Reiki master or a musician, performer, opening yourself to allow the flow to come through. And it's
she is a great musician. So it's nice to see that, that she actually was born to be an entertainer. And it flows through her beautifully.
And then to be on stage in some way, too.
And she has been, yes. Yeah.
And
a lot.
We say things like call a spade or got that in spades, as you mentioned. The number three is the number of creativity. So her key to abundance is her creativity in spades. She has creativity in spades. It oozes out of her. She can perform, heal, whatever the channeling of energy flows through her.
Okay.
She would get abundance from that. And then underneath that, the secondary influence is the Queen of Hearts. So by nurturing or mothering,
an incredible mother. She has children that she is so devoted to. It's wonderful to see.
So you mentioned that she's also a healer. That Queen of Hearts energy would give her the power to be a healer.
It's the love energy.
Yeah, it's the motherly love energy that she would give would bring her abundance.
It's beautiful to see. So let's talk about others.
Yeah. So there's a couple of interesting examples that I've seen in my private coaching practice. One is if you're born as a nine of clubs. And nine of clubs are people who are thought leaders. So these are people who think about things to the nines. Peter, you think a lot. Nine of clubs people think about everything to the nines, which is where we get expressions like that. To do it to the nines or get dressed up to the nines. So it means that they're out on the cutting edge of thought. And they tend to be self-help teachers, a lot of self-help gurus in the world, like Tony Robbins, born as Nine of Clubs, because they're out there on the edge of thought, leading the way.
Well, I want to ask about Andrew Cohen, who's a famous philosopher and a teacher. He has a kind of a guru-like following, and he's a Ten of Clubs.
Yeah, so Ten of Clubs. So we'll get back to the Nine of Clubs then. The Ten of Clubs is the teacher card.
And it's actually a teacher of a big audience.
Yes, it is. The keys to abundance for the Ten of Clubs are, one, the Ace of Clubs, which is to initiate new knowledge, which he has done. And the secondary influence is the Ten of Hearts, which is a lot of people. So his abundance is to teach something new to a large audience.
Uh-huh. And he does.
And he does. I was just coaching a client this morning, actually. He is born as a Ten of Clubs, and he's an aspiring filmmaker. And he's on that precipice where he's like, which way do I go? And I was coaching him, saying, listen, you need to go big, because your keys to abundance are to go to a big audience.
So he has the nines or the tens.
Right. He's born as a Ten of Clubs.
Right.
So his abundance is to go for a big audience, to teach something new to a big audience.
Right.
And, you know, he could have a tendency, as many artists have, of, oh, I want to create a pure film that is beautiful and noir and is only going to be understood by the great people. No, no. His abundance is to play big and to make a mass market film.
Right.
Right. And this is important for him as an artist to get that difference.
Sure.
So, yes, you can see Andrew Cohen playing out his abundance.
And what about somebody like Tony Robbins?
Ah, so Tony Robbins, who's born as a Nine of Clubs, his key to abundance is the King of Diamonds, which is to be a ruthless businessman.
And that's kind of what he teaches.
And he is. And he does teach that. And he is all about making money, for darn sure. But where I see it interesting is I've seen it in my coaching practice. I have several entrepreneurs who I coach, and some of them are women. And if they're born as a Nine of Clubs, they're automatically going to be more likely to be entrepreneurs anyway, because they're thought leaders. But as women, they have found it not necessarily in their personality to want to be ruthless. And
yet if they have the ruthless card,
that's what they should do.
Yeah.
Yes, so Nine of Clubs people need to be more ruthless to get their abundance. And when I say ruthless, I mean laser focused, going for what they want, seeing it and then going after it at all costs, so to speak. And for instance, I have one woman who is a client of mine who has her own business. And when I told her this, she was squirming in her seat. She's like, what do you mean be more ruthless? But as we talked about it more, she loved the idea. And she said, you know, I would love to close deals more. And I'd love to be more decisive with clients and people who owe me money. I'd love to be more stern with them. You know, pay me what you owe me. But I just haven't felt validated to do that. I don't want to be a B-I-T-C-H, you know. I don't want to offend. And when I, in a sense, gave her permission to be more ruthless, she really appreciated it. And she came back and told me that she had great success from it.
I think that's important, is that when you're living your design, your cards, mm-hmm. you will be more successful.
Yes.
And the other thing is that a lot of people don't need to be coached to be ruthless if they have a ruthless card, right?
Absolutely not. And what's interesting, too, is the opposite. People trying to be ruthless, it's not in their cards to be ruthless, but they've been conditioned by their, you know, ideas of Wall Street or, you know, big business that they're supposed to be ruthless in order to be successful. One example of that is people who are born as the Two of Spades. These tend to be the workers of the world. They love to work hard. My sister is born as a Two of Spades. She's a partner in her international consulting firm. She's very successful. But the key to abundance for Two of Spades people is the Queen of Hearts, which is to be more nurturing, more caring, more generous, more giving. That's their primary key to abundance.
And because she's a Two of Spades, it puts her in front of people uniquely, individually, one-on-one, right?
Well, as in a partnership context. And there's other things that maybe beyond what we could express in the show, but there's other factors that indicate why she would rise to the top, namely because she comes up to the top in the crown line in the sequence. So Two of Spades people tend to rise to the top.
But okay, what other cards rise to the top?
Well, any of these cards down... Which would be the Eight of Hearts, the Six of Clubs, Six of Spades, Queen of Hearts, but even the Four of Diamonds and the Four of Hearts, all will take a turn passing through the crown line, it's called, which means that they will very likely rise to the top of their field at some stage in their life. For the Queen of Hearts, it comes early on in their life path. For the Four of Hearts, for example, it comes much later in the life path.
So fascinating. And what about people who don't rise to the top? You know, I get a lot of people come to me and say, what are my chances for great success, for power in the world? And I look at their human design charts, and it doesn't always show that. And then the people who are powerful, I've looked at many of their charts, and it shows why they're powerful.
Yeah, you raise a very good point, Peter, because this is something I've wrestled with for myself, because my cards don't necessarily indicate passing through the crown line, so to speak. And yet, my birth date is August 30th, and Warren Buffett is born on my date of birth. So clearly he did quite well.
Yeah.
There's other factors besides that. There's the karmic factors, which we won't necessarily go into today, but there are karma. There's karma cards or karmic influences. And when I look, I see how he played his karma. I can see why he made a lot of money. But what's interesting to me is that it's as if he's led a double life. He made a lot of money, literally stamp collecting or doing the equivalent of collecting stamps, and then wants to give it all away. His life wasn't really connected by a synthesis. And so anyway, that's a separate point, but there are different ways to get to success, let's say it like that. And yet you're right, not everybody has it in their cards or in their chart that they're going to get the money that they want or that they are conditioned to want, let's say. As I was sharing with you before the show, when I'm able to tell them what they really will be happy with, what really would make them happy, underneath their conditioning, it always does strike a chord in them. They know in the back of their mind that is really what they want. That is really what they'd rather have. For some people, it's peace of mind. For instance, people born as the Nine of Spades, their key to abundance primarily is the Six of Hearts, which is to be at peace, to have their heart in a peaceful place. So meditation is very good for them. Doing anything that brings peace to their heart will naturally attract more abundance.
And it's so important to know that. And yet it's not for everybody. It's only if that's your card.
Right. You know, and we were talking about this, the generic teaching of the law of attraction. It confuses people as much as it helps them, because then they think it's a certain way, and then they beat themselves up for not being able to do it. But the odds of doing it are really 1 in 52, because most of the generic law of attraction teaching is only one pathway that's being taught. It's not teaching all 52 pathways.
It's so interesting that there are these windows to our mechanics in life that most people don't know about. You're offering it with the cards. I offer it with human design. And it gives people the opportunity to be truly who they're here to be.
Yeah, exactly. And as I've said, I see that underneath the conditioning, that is who people want to be.
They're happiest.
Yeah.
And you give people permission to be who they are, they run with it. And yet they can see how they've been conditioned otherwise.
And it often takes many sessions. I do the private coaching with clients. I find that it sometimes takes many sessions to cut through a lot of the BS, a lot of the conditioning.
Yeah. Actually, what it is that people need to reference this in their lives over a period of time so they get to watch it play out, or where they're stuck and they're not giving it a chance to play out.
Yeah.
Then they can remind themselves that it's better to be this way rather than that way.
Well, absolutely. And what I hope in the not too distant future is that children everywhere will grow up knowing their cards and would teach math and science and the cards. My own children love learning their cards, and as a parent, it helps me exponentially. It gives me so much clarity about how to support my children, because I can see where their abundance lies and how to give them a gentle coaxing, which I don't even really have to do because they're already wanting to do it. As long as I'm not putting a lid on it, that's where they're naturally inclined to go.
And that's the problem in life. The conditioners out there, our parents and the media, are seeking to gain something from us for their own benefit that isn't true to ourselves. This is amazing. What are a couple of other cards that we can learn about?
Yeah, well, so one other interesting example that I've seen a few times is people born as the Ace of Spades are very ambitious. They're here to ace the test of life. Right? That's why we say ace fighter pilot, ace the test. And spades is the suit of all aspects of life in one. That's why we call a spade a spade. So someone born as an ace of spades is here to ace the test of life. They want to do it all. The super ambitious, super workers. And yet their primary key to abundance is to remain youthful and lighthearted. That's the Jack of Hearts. So it's not something that they may, even though they feel it, as you've alluded to, Peter, they feel it in their bones, it's not something that they may turn to logically as a key to their own abundance, which is to be youthful and lighthearted and playful, because they tend to be so super serious about accomplishing things in life.
It looks like their underlying Jupiter card is the Ace of Diamonds.
Right. Which is to be an entrepreneur. And I see that with them. They do want to be entrepreneurs, but they must do it in a youthful, lighthearted, playful way. Treat it lightly. If they take it too seriously, which of course many entrepreneurs would do, if they take it too seriously, it doesn't tend to work for them. They get too bogged down and too overwhelmed, and they get exhausted.
This is an opportunity for people to learn so much from you in so many ways, and you're very unique. There aren't many people out there who have this knowledge.
No, there are very few, honestly, and I hope to teach more people. I will probably start teaching classes on it soon so that more people can learn how to do it for themselves.
I'm excited about it. I'm fascinated. And how do people find you?
You can go to my website, spiritualnutrition.org. And you can find me there. And I have a Facebook page as well. But if you go to the website, spiritualnutrition.org, you can find all the information there.
And you're in New York City.
I'm based in New York City. I do work with clients internationally over Skype or phone.
Yeah. Sure. It doesn't take much for you to communicate this information with anybody over the phone or Skype.
Right.
I also see there's a spiritual spread. We haven't gotten into that in this show. Maybe we can do another show about that.
The spiritual spread is the pre-life spread. That's the perfect ordering of the cards in the perfect matrix before they get jumbled up or dealt into the matrix that we live in this order that we're in now. And even there are keys to abundance. So let's look at your birth symbol, the Four of Clubs. In the spiritual spread, the key to abundance for you is the Eight of Clubs, which is to have infinite mental power.
I like that. I'm for that.
So that is another factor which we haven't even addressed yet. There's so many layers of detail that you can look into in these cards. That's why it's fascinating to me. It's an almost inexhaustible treasure trove to look into.
Right. So people should really be calling you to take advantage of this.
It's changed my life. I've studied everything. As you know, I was trained as a Roman Catholic priest. I lived in India. I was initiated as a Swami. I trained with shamans. Studied everything and anything I could. I've never found anything that was more helpful than this. And I've done readings for shamans, and they're blown away by it. These are people who I wouldn't think I have anything to teach them because they've done so much inner work, and yet this blows their minds when I show them their cards.
Oh, and it has ever since you've shown me mine. And actually, I've known about it for about 25 years.
Okay.
And then because it's not around, I couldn't pursue it. And so when I ran into you and you knew all about it, I was very excited because I knew about it to begin with.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that our audience now can know about it and pursue it and find you. And you have a book that you're working on.
I do. I'm working on a book about these cards because even though there are a few books out there, I don't feel that there are any that explain, for example, what we're talking about today.
Right.
Some simple strategies for what your keys to abundance are based on your cards.
Put all your wisdom into that book. Great. So Alexander Dunlop, I want to thank you so much for being a guest again on Energy Stew.
Peter, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's so much fun talking with you.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.